You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The cross is more than just jewelry. It symbolizes the greatest sacrifice in history, and it involves you.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, confused people, inefficient government, and strained family relations all reflect the terrible curse of sin in our society. By thy power may all people everywhere heed the prophet Amos to seek thee that they may live. Indeed, thou art the light of the world, our constant shepherd, our unfailing strength, and our eternal hope. By thy power, plant faith within our hearts and help us always to remember the supreme sacrifice of thy Son, Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Last September, newspapers carried the dramatic story of a father who burned to death while attempting to rescue his family from their flaming home. Several months later, the press recorded a similar incident. A British pilot gave up his life trying to rescue an American who had parachuted into the cold and windswept North Sea. Today, in our fast-moving and impersonal society, it is extremely difficult for any of us to be emotionally affected when we hear of life's tragedies. We have become numb and indifferent. Television, frequently in color, has conditioned us to accept each day, in our living rooms, scenes of pain, bloodshed, death, and destruction. We now view suffering and death with blatant indifference. It has become an accepted part of our current culture. But in spite of the media's constant bombardment of sensationalized news, the rare stories of individuals willingly sacrificing their lives for others still cause a strong response in the hearts of many. To hear of someone who has willingly given his life for someone else remains a powerful and moving event. Witnessing or learning of acts of total sacrifice can soften even the most hardened of hearts. And it is the awareness of this message of supreme sacrifice recorded in the pages of the Bible that has changed the lives of countless individuals. Jesus, the innocent one, who gave his life for the guilty. Yes, it is sad but true. Scores of people today mistakenly believe that the Bible is a book of rules outlining how one must live in order to get to heaven. This is totally and completely false. No one, including religious leaders, can live a good enough life to be accepted by God. Isaiah powerfully proclaims, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Ecclesiastes states, "There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." You and I may think that our situation is not all that bad. We may feel that we live a reasonably good life. we can always point out the sins and faults of others and quickly show how they are worse than we are. And, oh, how we love to do this. But according to the Bible, in the sight of a holy and perfect God, your condition and mine is shameful, miserable, and totally hopeless. But thank God, out of His love and mercy, He has put into action a plan of rescue for you and me. This plan was publicly demonstrated on the cross of Calvary when Jesus sacrificed His life in our place. St. Paul explains it like this. God caused Jesus Christ, who Himself knew nothing of sin, actually to be sin for our sakes, so that in Christ we might be made good with the goodness of God. In the Bible, Titus chapter 2, we read, He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us. In His second letter to Timothy, St. Paul wrote, For Christ has completely abolished death, and has now opened to us the shining possibilities of the life that is eternal. Large stone crosses are frequently seen in cemeteries. Small gold crosses are worn on necklaces and bracelets. So frequently do we see the symbol of the cross on jewelry, on the pages of paperback books, and in artwork, that the real meaning of the cross is no longer recognized. As we drive along the highway at night, we may see a stop sign. As we notice this familiar symbol, even though we may not be able to read it, we obediently stop. In the same way, each time we see the symbol of the cross, it should speak urgently to our hearts. The cross has a mind-stopping message for everyone. Each time you see the cross, remember, you were involved. It was your sins that nailed Jesus to the accursed tree, one of the worst forms of Roman execution. But in spite of your sin and disobedience, you must realize the scope of God's love and mercy for you. Jesus died on the cross. He was taking your place. Jesus died so that you need no longer fear death. By His resurrection, Jesus destroyed the power of sin, of death, and of the devil. No, don't worry anymore about your past sins and failures. Don't let the guilt of your past constantly hassle you. By His blood, Jesus has redeemed you. He has lovingly and graciously brought you back to be His own. At this moment, Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven. All who believe and trust in His saving power will be welcomed into His eternal kingdom. And this knowledge is not only for the insecure and the aged. It also brings hope to teenagers and others who wonder what life is all about and where history is going. It is the answer to the concerns of a young college co-ed who wrote her parents and said, Please pray for me. I'm facing some real heavy questions. What am I doing in life? And where am I going? Perhaps you today feel like this young lady. Maybe there are a lot of questions about life in your mind. As you contemplate the direction of your life, listen to the dramatic and positive change which took place in the life of a man who read and studied the Holy Scriptures. The story is recorded in the Bible, Acts chapter 8. One day, a man from Ethiopia, a government official, was sitting in his chariot reading the Bible. He was studying the prophet Isaiah. As he meditated on the prophet's message, a man named Philip came to him and asked, Do you understand what you are reading? The Ethiopian replied, How can I, unless someone guides me? Then he invited Philip to get into the chariot, to sit beside him, and to teach him. As they traveled along, the two men read a verse from the prophet Isaiah, which caused the Ethiopian to stop and to ponder its meaning. The verse states, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. The Ethiopian official turned to Philip and asked, Please tell me, who is the prophet Isaiah speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or someone else? At this crucial point in the discussion, the Bible states that Philip told the Ethiopian that this person, described as a man being sacrificed like an innocent and helpless animal, was Jesus. Oh, we can be sure that Philip, guided by the Holy Spirit, described for the Ethiopian how Jesus lovingly and sacrificially died on the cross as a ransom for the sins of all mankind. Certainly, Philip explained how Jesus bore the griefs and the sorrows of all men, how the Savior was pierced through for the transgressions and crushed for the iniquities of all people. Prepared by the Holy Spirit, the Ethiopian's heart was touched. He most certainly identified with the accusing words of Isaiah, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And so today, you and I, as we hear this section of the Bible, realize that our own lives are many times not what God wants them to be. We frequently and knowingly sin. We also sin unknowingly. We turn away from God and go our own way. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you always live the life that God desires you to live? Do you sometimes knowingly sin? Our 20th century hearts and doubting minds cannot help but be affected when we realize, as the Ethiopian did, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, may the Holy Spirit help us to understand that Jesus the Christ, the Son of David, the Messiah, bore the sins of many, and that he interceded for the transgressors, and that by his wounds we are healed. As we read the Bible, it is impossible not to notice the life-changing impact the message of Jesus' sacrificial death had on the Ethiopian. Hearing and seeing news stories on radio and television of individuals giving up their lives for someone else may move us emotionally. But Jesus' death and resurrection provided more than just an emotional feeling for the government official. It changed his life. It planted faith in his heart. It gave him an eternal hope and a reason to live. We can also be sure that Philip told his new friend that Jesus had commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible points out that as Philip and the Ethiopian rode along in the chariot discussing Jesus, they came to some water. The Ethiopian said, "Look, here is some water. Is there any reason why I should not be baptized now?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The Ethiopian replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." An order was then given for the chariot to stop. Both men got out of the chariot and went down to the water where Philip baptized the government official. From that day on, no longer was this man confused about life. To be sure, an entirely new and exciting life was opened for him. The Holy Spirit had worked in his heart a deep realization of his sinfulness and a strong desire for forgiveness. The Spirit of God planted in his heart an unsuppressible desire to be baptized, to be united with Christ in the Lord's death, and to also be united into the Savior's triumphant resurrection. One can only joyfully speculate about the blessings this born-again traveler experienced in the days and years which followed. Certainly, there were also periods of challenge and frustration, but indeed he now had the power to face life with the unshakable knowledge of ultimate victory. The Holy Scriptures promise that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. This positive change which happened to the Ethiopian can also happen to you. And this does not mean just that you become more religious. It is a new freedom, a new joy, and a new life. It is not based on emotion. It is based on unchanging spiritual knowledge. It is a new opportunity to understand everything in relation to Jesus Christ, through whom the whole world was created and around whom the entire universe exists. It is a new opportunity to gladly serve Him who promised, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." After rescuing his people from a burning apartment building, 21-year-old Howard Franklin of Hot Springs, Arkansas, sat down, exhausted and in a daze. His feet were badly cut and burned. All who learned of this heroic act praised his selfless deed. Indeed, this young man suffered much in his struggle to save others. Although he could have been killed, it was not necessary. It was not necessary for Howard Franklin to give up his life so that others could live. For Jesus, it was different. In order to rescue us, he had to die. Centuries ago, the Lord spoke his changeless decree through the prophet Ezekiel, who said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." God's changeless decree was echoed by St. Paul as he wrote, "The wages of sin is death." Because of sin, someone had to die to pay the price. There was no other way. God's righteous wrath had to be satisfied. And since no man could do it, God did it himself. Incredible as it may sound, God made the price and God himself paid the price. This all happened when he lovingly gave his innocent son to hang on the wooden cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. Listen to the good news as it is recorded in the Bible, Colossians chapter 2. God has forgiven you all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers raged against us, he exposed them shattered, empty and defeated in his final glorious triumphant act. Yes, Jesus did all this with power by the resurrection from the dead. Last year, newspapers carried the story of a Lutheran clergyman of Latvian descent who intentionally cut a blood vein in his arm. As he let his blood drip on a Russian flag, he said he was doing this for all the oppressed people in the Soviet Union. Certainly the pastor's symbolic act may have been of some value, protesting godless communism's acts of genocide. But when Jesus' blood dripped from the cross, it was more than a symbolic act. He was giving up his life to pay the price for sins that you and I have committed. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us. He was satisfying God's righteous demands. And now the forgiveness which Jesus earned for all men is available to you. Oh, don't reject God's love and mercy. Don't reject the forgiveness Jesus earned for you on the cross by remaining indifferent. Accept his free gift. Trust completely in the saving power of the blood of the Savior. The cross is not just any ordinary symbol. It is not merely jewelry or a good luck charm. The cross symbolizes the greatest sacrifice in the history of the world, and this sacrifice was made for you. Amen.